Okay, open up your Bibles to Romans and chapter 11. I'm going to read to you a verse. I'm going to read to you a verse that you'll probably never, ever, ever, not ever, ever hear again at offering time. Because usually, and one of the reasons that these things stand out to me, I'm the poster boy for getting hooked with the sow your seed to meet your need crowd. And the prosperity teachers in the 80s, it took them a while, but eventually my giving became all about me and my harvest, my return. And I wanted that hundredfold. There was still enough alive on the inside of me. I wanted that hundredfold return, and I wanted all of this. So every time that I gave, and I hate to admit it, but hey, truth is truth, and that's what it was. I had me on my mind, you know. And it's amazing, though, if you really start doing what Pastor Davis taught us all these years, begin praying in the Holy Ghost, meditating the Word. It is amazing how the Spirit of truth will tear down deception on the inside of you. So look at these verses here. Anymore, it's so hard for me to start at any verse. I want to back up about 12 verses, you know. But let's pick it up here in verse 32. And for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. How many are glad that he's having mercy upon all? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Now here's the verse, verse 35. Or who hath first given to him? And it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, in case you weren't here, and even those that were, we're going to go back to my granddaughter Lily and the ice cream cone. And if you weren't here, yes, I gave her 3 consecutive ice cream cones. Why? Because she asked me. Now, by the way, my natural daughter, her mother, my natural daughter, Erin, she found out about that. She says, "You never gave me 3 ice cream cones." I said, "I was never your grandpa." See, I got another grandpa in the front row here. We understand this now, you know. I mean, I was your parent. It's different. I love this grandpa deal. It's a wonderful thing, you know. But now, if you can picture Lily Cakes when she was, she's my Lily Cakes, when she was about 6, you know, and I'm fixing her this big, she likes chocolate, you know, I'm fixing her this big old chocolate, and she's watching me make it. You know how they do. They're standing there with Ann, and she's, you know, pile it high, grandpa. Come on now. Pile it high. So I'm piling this up, and I'm enjoying her. Enjoy this ice cream cone. Now, I said the other day about the little lick. You know, that's, oh, man. I'm just enjoying her enjoying the cone. But she got to understand the whole reason she has the cone is because it is of Grandpa and through Grandpa and to granddaughter. See, you got to understand the whole reason, everything to do with that ice cream cone and that blessing is because of Grandpa, isn't it? Is it not? She didn't provide it. Grandpa provided it. Now, that other one I said, now, what touched my heart is when she saw me and she, of her own self, for no other reason, Papa, and she couldn't say her L's then, Papa, would you yike a yito yik? Do you want a pony? But let's talk about some other things, because he's taught me so much just from that one little example and from this verse right here. Now, what if she'd been watching the TV preachers? I mean, what if she'd been watching on TV and she decided, you know, I'm going to need another one of these someday. How would I get another ice cream cone? I was taught that if I offer my grandpa a small part of this ice cream cone, he would multiply it and give me 100 ice cream cones back. Now see, what if that was her motivation? Not wanting to just share with Grandpa. But she had her on her mind. This is how I can get Grandpa to give me 100 ice cream cones. What would Grandpa think about that? Honey, if you want an ice cream cone, you have not because you ask not. I don't want you entering into some type. I don't want you to think you have to first give unto me so that I would recompense back to you. You see that verse? You see the verse? Then what if I saw her sitting all melancholy and sad? She's just unhappy. Honey, what's the matter? I'm afraid there's never going to be another ice cream cone. I mean, this one's gone. I don't see any more ice cream cones sitting around. How will I ever know I'll have another ice cream cone? I'm just worried. I'm just worried. I'm calling my friends to ask them to worry with me. And I'm going, I'm right here. All your ice cream, I provide all of your ice cream cones. Are y'all seeing what's going on here? He has taught me over the years so much from this. Listen, you are in a family, not in a religion. You have a Father who loves you. You have a Lord who has already sown the seed because He is the seed. You already have someone who has become your seed, sown. Your harvest is assured. The problem is we have not because we ask not. And I really wasn't going to share this, but he's doing it again. Now, this happened this week, and I don't say these things to brag. I don't say them. This is the kind of relationship. Where's Angie? Angie knows, you know, we spend money on these trips. Does it take money? Okay. And so I was thinking the other day, I was over at Myers getting something, and then they got an ATM machine. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm starting to run just a little low on cash. And I walked over to the ATM machine. I've done it before over there. I was going to get a little cash out. No big deal, right? I've done it, do it all the time. But this time, the Lord says, ask of me. He just want, I have money in the bank. I bet swipe, I can get the money out. He wanted to participate. It's ice cream day. I said, well, I'm thinking, I've got the card in my hand. He said, no. So I said, okay, I'll put it back. Father, I was going to ask for this. I was going to get this much money. Father, I'm asking you. That same day, Jim had no idea. We're at lunch somewhere, and he hands me an envelope, and I already figure what's going on. It wasn't from Jim, and he couldn't tell me who it was from. It was anonymous. $50 in there. And it's the only day this week that's happened, and I'm not saying that to get anybody to give it, but I'm just saying, hey, you think that's a coincidence? That's not a coincidence. The only day this week that that's happened. One other day this week, just to tell you this relationship thing going on, you know? I woke up and just, you know how your conscience, you don't know, God's voice is not always a voice. What I mean, it's not always words. It's more like, a lot of times it's like your conscience. Your conscience communicates really well, does it not? But, you know, you don't necessarily hear the voice, thou shalt not steal, you know? But you try and get that grape at Myers, you know? No. But I need to know if it tastes good. Well, I don't know. Anyway. If y'all don't know what I'm talking about, I'm moving on. Anyway. Well, it wasn't a voice, but I had this urging to get on the internet and check our cell phone data. We got a plan, a cell phone data plan, you know, and if you used. And I never do that. I just never, ever do that. But it was like your conscience. It wouldn't leave me alone. Sure enough, I get online and check. We're over our cell data. And my plan, if you do that too much, it's like $300. Yeah, it's not a little bit. It's a bunch. And so it took me a while to get on. I don't do this. It took me a while to get online and come to find out who the culprit was. My grandson. My beloved grandson. Then I got to remembering, okay, yeah, he's in track. Earlier this month in this same billing cycle, he had three track meets in different towns that they had to ride on a bus. Long way there and a long way back.
okay, he's probably watching movies or something. But as long as I called before the end of the billing cycle, I got the whole thing handled for about $30 instead of $300. Excuse me just a minute. I worship you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And I want to give you one more because L.A. gave a wonderful testimony about how they learning to deal with that stronghold. God, do I understand that one? That a fear that God will not provide, okay? And I'm not going to turn to the verse, but Paul says, I have learned how to be abased. And I have learned how to abound. Well, we went through that same thing. I actually think they're learning it faster than we did, because the first year that we went through this, I didn't take my wife out even for a hamburger that first year. Why? There was no extra money. There was just nothing. But we survived. And it took 2 or 3 years before things began to become a little bit more, you get a couple of nostrils above water and you're starting to feel a little more comfortable. But then I had this message that I'll teach another time. I call it, you can find it on my website. It's called Back to Zero Again. We would get a little bit better, and then it seemed like, man, like I'm going to have to go through this again. And we'd get a little better, and man, back to zero again. Finally, the Lord started, because now we're talking about learning to abound. Paul said, I have learned how to be abased. You're learning? I tell everyone, I would not take for those first year or two of ministry. I hope I never have to learn that again. Okay. Learn it. Okay. But then you got to learn how to abound. So we'd have these little periods where we're getting a little better and we're getting a little better and then back to zero again. What's going on? Finally, he told me. He says, well, you have failed the abundance test 3 times. There's a test? What do you mean I failed the abundance test 3 times? You know, but you got to learn how to abound. He reminded me. Let me ask you, L.A., that day that you're waiting and the rent's due tomorrow and you hear the clink of the mailbox, how was your prayer life that day? How was your worship life that day? Oh, God, I love you. You're the best. Mwah. Oh, God, you're our provider. You are my provider. You are my provider. You provide all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I love you, God. Oh, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I worship you. I glorify you. Yeah, when you're in the lion's den, going through the fiery furnace, boy, your walk with God is close. Then he started reminding me. He says, now, when things started getting a little better and the pressure started coming off, and he said it to me, what happened to your prayer life? When I thought back, I went, Oh yeah, it kind of backed off, didn't it? It got a little more, not as close. Not as close. Back to zero again, because I have not yet learned how to abound. You got to learn that part too, see? So what he was showing me is my walk with, I love you, God. I worship you, God. I praise you, God. When my needs are so needful. But he showed me I was still like a little, can I say, thumb-sucking baby. Because once I drank my bottle, once my needs were met, once my diaper was changed, oh, thank you very much. I'm going to go play now. See? He says, no, you got to learn how to abound. Got to learn how to abound too. So we're all in seasons of that. And it doesn't matter if you're in full-time ministry. We're not going to do it. You know, Jim's got a wonderful series. God, what is there, 50 tapes? Something like 48? A whole gob. Something about the prospering the kingdom or the kingdom finances, something. He's got a great series on that. But it doesn't matter. Even if you're still, you know, the vast majority of his children are not in full-time ministry. You're in secular employment, which you should be. If a man will not work, neither should you let him eat. But see, if we had time, we'd go to Deuteronomy 8, because there's a warning there. Here are these slaves. They've been slaves forever. Now he's starting to bring them into this land of abundance. He starts listing all these occupations. Some of you are going to be wheat farmers. Some are going to be barley farmers. Some of you is going to have olive groves. Some of you is going to be miners. You can mine brass out of the hills. he lists all these occupations, but he warns them. He says, now when you increase and you've built goodly houses and your prosperity is abounding, don't start thinking that it's by the power of your own might that you've gotten this wealth. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. It is he that gives thee power to get wealth. Don't ever forget it. Always be thankful. That's why Solomon wrote in Proverbs, he says, honor the, it's not part of the law, it's in Proverbs, honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor him. So when we give today, it's exactly like, Father, would you like a little lick? Father, and plus we're actually beyond that. We're not little babies, really. We're co-laborers with him in the kingdom. And we want to see this message go farther. I want to keep Jim on the internet. And I want to keep this message going around the world, Bronx on the internet. We want to keep this going. Amen? So there's only two ways. It's just he's not wanting to drag anything out of anybody. He wants it from the heart. Wants it from the heart. So just, I only know two ways to do this. And one, let every man purpose in his own heart what he'd like to give. And the second way is as his steward. Because if you've matured to him in him where you can hear his voice, there's times he'll tell you how much he wants you to put in. He'll just tell you. So just listen for a moment. If the ushers or usherettes will come.